Well, good morning and happy Easter. Are you glad to be here this morning? Yeah, come on, come on. It was great to worship with you this morning. My name's Tony Tice, and I get the awesome privilege of serving as the lead pastor here at Sugar Grove. And don't you love stories like that, hearing stories like that? Isn't that awesome? I love it, right? A painful childhood, sinful choices, broken marriage, disease, and yet God redeemed that couple from it all. I love stories like that. I admit it, I am a sucker for redemption stories, aren't you? I love them. I love the movie Rocky, right? I love anything that has an inkling of redemption in it, I love. And I want to tell you, the thing is, we saw some of the, I think, three different people at the beginning of the service on video, and you saw the one couple. Truth of the matter is, we could have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people from Sugar Grove come up and tell their story of redemption. And what God has done to restore marriages, to break addictions in their lives. And I want to tell you something. It's not because of Sugar Grove. It's not because of me. It's not because of the other pastors. It is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that redemption can happen in our lives. Come on, you believe that this morning? And I know we were trying to cram everyone in, so I don't know if you caught that first song that we sang, but it's a newer song called Glorious Day, and we actually got our theme from that. I ran out of that grave. Listen to the opening words of that song. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb. Till I met you. You called my name. I mean, isn't that amazing to think about that God, while still governing the galaxies, that the God of the universe knows us by name, the scripture says? Not even that, but the Bible says that he actually knows every single amount of hair on your head. I'm looking over at Pastor John Ware. That's not that great of an accomplishment for you. But it is for a lot of you. Okay. Okay. Thank you, John. Called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You know what? Today might be the day for you to run out of the grave that maybe you're in. I want us leaving here today, and I get that a lot of you already believe this, but I want all of us leaving here today. My prayer is that when we leave here today, as I share some thoughts from God's Word and we kind of wrap up our service here today, that all of us will leave here believing with every ounce of our being that because Jesus ran out of that grave 2,000 years ago, so can I. Whatever that is for your life. And maybe some of you, the tomb for you is bitterness and an unforgiving spirit that you need to release today. Maybe for some of you, it is a broken marriage that needs to be restored. Maybe for some of you, it's sin, it's addiction in your life. And today very well could be the start of your day of running out of that grave and leaving that sin, leaving that shame, leaving that pain, leaving that behind at the tomb. I believe with all my heart that can happen today. I don't think we're just going through the motions. I don't think it's just, well, Easter, you know, do some songs, say a few things about the resurrection. I believe with all of my heart that lives can be changed today. That people can run out of the grave in their life today. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, not a big deal. We'll have the words up here on the screen. We have a church app as well. If you haven't downloaded our app, it has all the verses, all my main points and quotes, and all of those things are typically on there as well. So any one of those, and you'll be able to find it. But as you're turning there to 1 Corinthians 15, let me just mention, this is actually, today's kind of a pep rally, okay? Today, I'm not going to give tons of meat. I mean, we're going to dive into God's Word and share some things. But today is meant to be kind of a pep rally that prepares us for the next 8 weeks. We're talking today, we're calling today Victorious, but it's really the launch of an 8-week series starting next week called Victorious. And what we're going to do over the next 8 weeks is we're going to lean in and really look in very practical and powerful ways. How do I live a life of victory? I mean, we're going to say today that it's possible because of the resurrection of Christ. There is power available to overcome those things in our lives that keep us in the tomb. But the next 8 weeks, we're going to get super practical. And we're going to look at Ephesians 6. We're going to come back to that one chapter, and we're going to look at the armor of God. And we're going to see, because of the resurrection of Christ, when we daily, in very practical ways, very practical ways in our lives on a daily basis, when we learn to put on the armor of God, how we can experience spiritual victory in our lives. So today's the pep rally, all right? Today's the woohoo, we could do this. And then starting next week, we're going to get practical, all right? So there's really three things today. I want to ask three questions. 1 Corinthians 15, we're not going to be able to look for every verse. There's 50-some verses here. So we're going to kind of bounce around a little bit in 1 Corinthians 15. But I want to give to you three questions that emerge out of what the Apostle Paul, he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, three questions about the resurrection of Christ that comes out of this passage. And here's the first one. You might want to even jot them down. The first one is this: what if Jesus did not run out of that grave? So I'll play devil's advocate for just a moment, okay? What if he didn't? What if Jesus didn't actually run out of that grave? And there probably might be even here some today, and I know that you know people who think this way, that, okay, I mean, I get it. There's a lot of good things in there about how to live a moral life. There's some good things in there maybe about relationships, you know, Proverbs is good, some good wisdom principles in there. But and so I'm willing to concede that there's some good things in the Bible, you know, that are helpful, that's going to help in our relationships. My problem is anything that's supernatural. I mean, some of the stuff in there seem really far out there, all right? Jesus casting out demons, healing people on the spot. I mean, I just, you know, I'm willing to say there's some good things in the Word of God, but, come on, to say that everything in there actually happened, that's a bit of a stretch. To say that someone dies and then 3 days later rises from the dead, I'm not willing to go. How important is that? I mean, can I still have faith and then maybe just see the resurrection as maybe more symbolism, like how our lives can be resurrected? And or is it really important that I believe in a literal historical resurrection? It's hypothetical, but thanks for answering, some of you. I mean, how important is it? Well, let's read. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God's Word thinks and says. So let's go right to that. Verse 14 through 15, the Apostle Paul says, "And if Christ has been raised, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised." So if people don't really rise from the dead, they die and then they're just dead, then isn't that the same of Jesus? Because Jesus came in the form of a man. And so that was a real popular teaching in the day, was, well, now you just die and you're dead. Well, if that's the case, then that means Jesus as well. He just died, right? He died 2,000 years ago. He died on a cross. There is hardly anybody that will deny a historical figure known as Jesus. I mean, even atheists will acknowledge that. Nearly all of them. Not everyone. I guess there's some people out there that don't. But most people acknowledge there's really a Jesus and would acknowledge that he died on a cross. But did he really rise from the dead? Well, if the dead don't rise, then he didn't rise, and does it really matter that much? And he goes on and says, listen, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, a polite way of saying those who have died, have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Now, according to the Word of God, Okay, and I believe, I put my cards out on the table, I believe that God wrote the Bible and he wrote through the inspiration of men who wrote down what God told him to write down. So I believe this is written by the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And according to these verses, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, a couple things. Number one, my preaching is pointless. That's what it says, verse 14. Now, some of you might be thinking, I don't know, I think it's kind of pointless some days anyways. Well, I'm sorry if you feel that way, okay? Go find a better preacher somewhere if that's what you're looking for, all right? But there's no power in it, that's the point. You see, the reason why I do what I do, the reason why I lead with the Word of God and not just my own, you know, ideas and opinions and just tell stories the whole time, the reason why everything here at Sugar Grove flows out of what the Word of God says is because we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and we believe it was the Holy Spirit who rose Jesus from the dead, and we believe it is the Holy Spirit who wrote the Word of God, and therefore the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same power available whenever we open up God's Word, if that Holy Spirit lives in us. So why would I waste our time standing up here just trying to be funny? We all know I'm not as funny as I think anyways, right? All right? Okay, yeah, okay. Okay, we had our moment earlier. Now just be quiet and listen, John. Man! You're an ornery old man. Keep him in line. Come on, Catherine. I don't even know what I'm talking about now. I don't know where it was. All right. It was probably about Jesus, is my guess, though, right? Yeah, probably. We lead with the Word of God because there's power. Unless Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then the preaching is pointless. And secondly, Paul goes on to say, verse 14 and 17, our faith is empty. Notice it's that in verse 14, vain. In verse 17, it comes back to it, futile. Kind of the same ideas there, that it's empty. Our faith is empty. There's no substance to it. It's wishy-washy. I don't know if you've noticed. I'm gonna let you in on something. Some of you may not be aware of this, but not everything on the internet is true. Yeah, okay. Sorry to burst your bubble on that one, all right? And there's so much lately, I'm a Facebook guy, okay? I got Facebook game. I got like over 3,000 Facebook friends. I got Facebook game. I don't have anything. Twitter, I have like 100. Nobody, I don't Twitter anything worth saying, so I don't have many Twitter friends. But I do a lot of Facebook, all right? And then Instagram, I do Instagram. But anyways, not the point. The thing on Facebook is there's a lot of fascinating stories. And then I get hooked on those stories, and I click the button. And then I read the story, and I realize, this is ridiculous. This isn't true. And then normally some ad pops up, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of fake news that's out there. There's a lot of fake news on Facebook, and you click, and you realize, it's not even true. Well, the point being is that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we have fake news. It's fake. What's the point? It's empty. It's shallow. I mean, the Bible says that the Word of God will not come back void, that there's power in the Word of God. Unless Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, then our faith is empty. It's fake faith. It goes on and says in verse 17, this is where it starts getting really serious here. It says, Paul says, we're still dead in our sins then. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're still dead in our sins. You see, I want to tell you something. Jesus dying on the cross never saved anybody. Jesus had to die on a cross to pay the punishment for sin. But his death didn't save us. That's why it says in Romans 6:24, it says that Jesus died for our sins, but he rose from the dead to justify us before God. So if Jesus just died but didn't rise from the dead, we're still dead in our sins. And if you understand what Scripture says, that also means that we stand in judgment before a holy God, and that means that all of eternity will be spent in damnation in hell. Those are my words. You know who talked about hell more than anybody in the Bible? Jesus. And so this is serious business. There are huge ramifications on whether or not Jesus rose from the dead or not. According to the Word of God, we're still dead in our sins if the tomb isn't empty. If the tomb isn't empty, our faith is empty. He goes on and says, and this is kind of emotionally what would hurt here, if Jesus isn't really alive, then verse 18, Paul says, our loved ones aren't in a better place. They're just dead or in hell. And so all, you know, I think of my grandma Phyllis, the opportunity to lead her to Christ 2 weeks before she died of lung cancer. And one of the great joys of heaven, most importantly, is to see my Savior, but also to see my grandmother free of cancer, living in perfection. I think of other people, all of my grandparents. I don't have any grandparents still living on this planet. And by God's grace, all of them profess Christ as Savior. But you know what? What a sad, sad reality. If Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, I'm not going to be reunited with them. They're not going to be in heaven. I'm not going to see them again. They're just dead. So trying to encourage people with, you know, hey, if they knew Christ, you know, they're in a better place. Or it's just pointless to even say that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And then lastly, in verse 19, Paul says, we are to be pitied worse than non-Christians. We're to be pitied worse than those who don't proclaim Christ. Why? Because as Christ followers, we understand the call of discipleship, right? To deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. We understand what it means to take the narrow path, the way of Jesus with our lives, and then following in the mission of Jesus. And that requires sacrifice and surrender and submission. That means giving of our time, our talents, and our treasures. Can you imagine sacrificing all of those things in our lives to take that narrow road only to find out it was fake news. The ramifications are huge. Whether or not Jesus rose from the dead or not. Now, I realize that I'm preaching to the choir for most of you today, that most of you believe in the resurrection, but some of you here probably don't. And honestly, probably some of you just grew up with it and you haven't really thought through if you really believe this in your own heart of hearts. You just said, yeah, I believe it. My parents believe it. My parents' believed it. Yeah, I believe that. But I want to ask you something. If you haven't really processed this, if you haven't had your own crisis of faith to really decide, is this my parents' faith? Is this just what I grew up with? Is this really what I believe? Can I stand up and articulate to people why I believe in the resurrection of Christ? Then can we say it's really our faith? Do you know why you believe? Not what you believe. Do you know why you believe? And then for some here, all of us, we have people in our life who have never ran out of that grave. See, I ended my junior year in high school. See, I thought I was a Christian at the age of 6. I went forward, prayed the prayer that the pastor said hell's really bad and scared me about hell. And then he said, but heaven's really great. And he talked about how great heaven was. And then he said, hey, if you want to go to heaven and not hell, come forward. I'm like, yeah, I'm in, right? I mean, you don't have to be that smart to, like, compare the two, right? Heaven or hell? Damnation, burning sulfur, streets of gold, perfection. Yeah, I'm coming down that aisle. What do I got to do? Pray the prayer. What's the prayer? Follow after me. Okay, I follow after you. You're in. Yeah. Fire insurance. That's what I thought. I never made Jesus Lord and Savior of my life. I never chose him to be my Savior, my leader, my Lord. I grew up saying, yeah, I believe. I proved I didn't by my life till the end of my junior year in high school. When I took every path, and every path led me to the same place: frustration, emptiness, meaningless, until I really discovered for the first time, not about Jesus, but I discovered who Jesus was. He came into my life and he transformed my life and is still transforming my life today. Church, I do what I do, and I stand up here with great passion. This isn't fake. This is who I am, and this is what I believe. But I stand up here with great passion because I'm a man for 30 years who have been running out of that grave in my life. And sometimes I'm gonna admit something to you. Sometimes I run back into that grave after some silly sin that I think I need, after some silly thing that I think is going to make me happy or give me identity or give me hope. Man, I just got back. I spent 3 days, Monday through Wednesday. There's a more proper term. I just call it the fat doctor. I went to the fat doctor down in Nashville. A friend of mine who gifted me with a whole weight management program and helped get me on the right track of my health. I'm going to tell you, because the thing is, it wasn't just, oh, I just need to eat better, work out more. I have an unhealthy relationship to food. And sometimes in my stress, I turn to food, not my Savior. And I had to be honest about that, that my battle has been that I haven't fully trusted God. I've turned to other things sometimes. So the point I'm making is this, not to talk about weight management or any of those things, though I would love your prayers about that. But to simply say this, any of us, it doesn't matter if you've known Jesus for a year, for 100 years, like John over there, or how long, we're even. You can't say anything else. I think it's 2-2. All right, listen. Or whether you're a pastor or whatever, we all can still be tempted to go back to that grave. All right? And so whether you don't know Christ and you need to run out of the grave for the first time in your life today, or whether you're here and there's still things that are holding you back that you need to die to today, or whether it's because there's people in your life. I mean, you can say, I've run out of that grave, awesome, but there's probably people in your life that haven't. And so I want us to leave here with a firm conviction that the resurrection wasn't just some historical fact, though I believe it was, but that it is an experiential reality too, that can transform and change our very lives, even how you relate to food, when we really understand what it means to tap into resurrection power. Come on, you believe that? Yeah. So let me ask a second question then. Why can we believe that Jesus ran out of that grave? I mean, can we really believe? I mean, is it just wishful thinking, or can we truly believe this morning that Jesus ran out of the grave? Well, again, Paul gives us the words, the Word of God. Who cares what I think? Let's go to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at the first 8 verses. Verse 1 and 2 say, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being what? Saved. What saves us? Receiving, embracing the gospel. If you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. To make sure we're all speaking the same language, I realize we have visitors today, so I want to make sure we're speaking the same language. What I mean by gospel, the word gospel literally means the good news. The proclamation of the good news. And here is the good news, that even though you and I were born as sinners, we were not born as children of God. We were born enemies of the cross, the Bible says. Because of our sin, we have been separated from God, Scripture teaches us. But God, in His infinite, unconditional, unwavering love for you and me, He was not going to let sin stand in the way. Sin was a problem because in the garden, He said, if ye eat of the fruit, the first humans, if ye eat of the fruit, surely you shall die. And the Bible says that that death, the curse of sin, came to every single human being. So all of us are born in sin. So God is loving, yet God is holy. And for God to say, okay, never mind, would no longer there be a holy and just God. And so what God did was He sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, to come in the form of a man. And He, not us, He lived a perfect, sinless life, but He chose to die on a cross to pay a sinner's death. And the sinner He died for was you, and it was for me. Amen. Every sin past, every sin present, every sin in the future was nailed on Him upon that cross. The full wrath of God was hurled upon His own Son, Jesus, on that cross so that you and I would not experience the wrath of God, but instead you and I would go from condemned sinners to sons and daughters of the King. That's the good news. That's what we believe at Sugar Grove unapologetically. There's different beliefs and different things, but the core belief that makes us who we are here at Sugar Grove is a belief that there's not a single person in this room that could ever work their way to God. There's not a single person in this room who could ever work their way to heaven. The work, the only work, is the work that Jesus did on the cross and by rising from the dead. It's the cross and the empty tomb that brings life to you and to me. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. When we repent of sin and place our faith in the work of Christ and make him Lord and Savior, then we enter into that. That's what I did into my junior year of high school. And resurrection power came into my life through the Holy Spirit. He goes on and says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, and though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." Why can we believe that Jesus ran out of the grave? Number one, we can believe that Jesus ran out of that grave because of faith. Because of faith. There wasn't anybody that was there 2,000 years ago. None of us can stand up and say, "I was there, I can prove it, I saw him die, I saw him rise from the dead." Nobody in this room can prove it. And so that's why we call it a Christian faith. It does have to be received by faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Tony, through the words of this church? No, through the words of Christ. The reason we believe by faith that Christ died and rose again is not because of some leader or because of some denomination. We believe that Jesus died and rose because the words of Christ tell us so. And what Paul was getting at was it wasn't that he just showed himself after his resurrection to one person, and so we have to believe that one person. He showed himself to over 500 men, plus women and children. So there are thousands who saw the resurrected Christ. And a number of them were chosen to write those things down into the Word of God. Dr. Luke was a physician. He wrote Luke and he wrote the book of Acts. He wrote these things down, not as some story to tell. He wrote down what he saw. The resurrection was based upon the accounts of eyewitnesses. And we have a choice to make. Every human being has a choice to make whether you will believe that by faith or not. Whether you will believe in the veracity of God's word and the claims in it of a supernatural event where Christ rose from the dead. But let me tell you, there are eternal ramifications based on what choice we make, whether it happened or it didn't happen. Some of you say, "Listen, I don't believe in fairy tales. I believe in facts. So if I can't prove it, I won't believe it." Well, that's silly, to be quite honest, because if we had time, I could give you example after example of the times that we believe in things that we haven't been there personally to prove. There's things that I believe that I haven't been there. I wasn't there when they proved it, but I believe it. Catch this. I believed it because I trusted the sources who said it. So I wasn't there. I stand before you and admit that I cannot prove to you that Jesus rose from the dead. I can't prove that to you. But I believe it by faith. But catch this. But I believe it by faith based on the evidence. The evidence available to us. You see, that's the second reason we can believe, not just out of faith, and that is required. It does require faith, but we can also believe that Jesus ran out of that grave because of reason. You see, I want you to understand something, that you don't have to check your brains at the door to believe in Christianity. But I will say, you have to believe in the supernatural. It is a requirement. And you have to take a leap of faith, it is true, to believe that it wasn't just some symbolic teaching, but that there was a literal Jesus who died a literal death for your sins and mine and literally rose from the dead on the third day. Because quite frankly, there is salvation found in none other than who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And you have to choose by faith whether to believe that or not. But what I'm trying to say today is you don't have to check your brains at the door to do so. That there is evidence. And I would love, you know, maybe some Easter, maybe next Easter, that'll be the whole Easter talk, is the evidences. It'll be a skeptic's Easter, you know, and we'll just deal with the evidence. I'm not going to do that today, but what I am going to do is I'm going to give you my email. Because I want you, if you're like, I'm not sure, what are these evidences? I have four evidences. I've written an article on what I believe to be the four evidences in addition to God's word that points to a literal resurrection of Christ. And I want, and maybe you say, well, and I'm not sure I can trust the Bible. Listen, you email me this week and I will send you why. I don't have time to do it up here, but I will send you why. So I'm going to give you my email so you can send that to me, okay? It's Pastor John Ware at Sugar Grove Church. No, I'm kidding. All right. Pastor Tony, here it is, ready? Pastor Tony at sugargrovechurch.com. Pastor Tony at sugargrovechurch.com. You write me. You email me. I would love to lean into this and talk more about that. Because I'm telling you, I believe it by faith, but I did not have to sacrifice the brains God gave me to believe it. It does require me to believe in something supernatural. But there is evidence that supports that verdict, that Jesus died and Jesus rose again. Amen? Amen? One other question I want to answer. What if Jesus did run out of that grave? You ready for some good news? But what if it is true? All right. Well, if it is true, look at verse 20 through 26. Paul tells us. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so Adam was the first human, and sin entered through with Adam and Eve, and so sin came to all of mankind. So also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, I love this part. When he delivers the kingdom of God to God the Father after, what's the next word? Destroy. Come on, after what? Destroy. After destroying every rule and every authority and power. He not only died for our sins, but he also died and rose from the dead to destroy the power of evil. To destroy the power of sin and death. It says, for he must, verse 25, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Come on, church. Church, we do not fight for victory, we fight from victory. Victory was secured when he burst out of that grave. You may not feel that way in your life. You may not be experiencing that at right now in your life. And I'm going to tell you, that's why the next 8 weeks are going to be so important. Because I'm telling you, that power is there. It's progression, not perfection, until Christ returns. I am not yet where I want to be, but I am a whole lot closer than I was 30 years ago. Each year of the way, I'm becoming more and more like Jesus, and I'm overcoming sin and sin in my life. But guess what? There's still sin to be overcome. And guess what? 5 years from now, I want to be more like Jesus. And 15 years, I want to be more like Jesus. And all that's possible, not because of how wonderful I am, how disciplined I am. That is because Jesus Christ is alive, and resurrection power flows through me through the Holy Spirit. And if you've repented of sin and placed your faith in Christ, it flows through you. If Jesus did run out of the grave, the dead will rise to life, according to verse 21 and 22. It means I will see my grandparents who knew Christ. It means that I can face death without fear. Listen, I'm not afraid to die. I'm a little concerned how I die. I used to always say, I want to die in the pulpit doing what God has called me to do and just keel over preaching 1 week. And then I realized that's selfish because then everyone's in the church going to need therapy, all right? It's like, there's our pastor. Not anymore, you know? So I decided that I'm asking God not to die here on stage, okay, just so you know. So I here's how I want to die. I want to go to sleep and then wake up and I'm in heaven. How many want to go out that way, right? That's right. I don't want to drown. Seems not good. I don't want to burn with fire, you know. And here's the deal. I don't know how I'm going to die. But I can tell you this. I can live and live fully for Christ because I don't have to fear death because I know where I'm going when I die. And so can you. And secondly, verse 23 through 26, if Jesus did run out of that grave, he will destroy the devil and death, as we read about. I've read it, man. I've read the whole thing many times from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. Every time I read it, comes to the same conclusion, good guys win, right? And I can live in that victory now, and so can you. And we'll learn more how to do that over the next 8 weeks. But let me close my time. The last verses there in 1 Corinthians. It says in verse 54, it says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in what? Come on, let's have some fun. Make a V. Everybody make a V. Come on. We all look silly, so it doesn't matter, okay? Come on, just do it. Have a little fun, all right? All right, here we go. Right now we're going to say it. All right, now put him back down till we get to the V part. All right, you ready? Oh, death, where? Oh, excuse me. Nope, my bad. Death is swallowed up in?
Victory.
Oh, death, where is your?
Victory.
Come on. Oh, death, where is your?
Victory.
Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the?
Victory.
Come on, now who gives us the? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, application. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I mean, that's how I want to live my life. Steadfast and unmovable. That's how I want to live. Don't you want to live your life steadfast and unmovable? Jesus said the gates of hell can't prevail against the church. The Bible says that greater is he that is in you than the he that is in the world. If all of those things are true as I believe them to be, if that tomb is empty as I believe it to be, that means that I can experience victory in my life, that I can be steadfast and unmovable, moving forward in the name of Jesus Christ. And so can you. As I wrap it up, I want to just give you two empty tomb take-homes to leave with. Number one, make sure you've run out of that grave. Make sure you've run out of that grave. If you're here and you don't know Christ, in a second, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make the decision I made when I was a junior in high school. I can promise you, you'll never regret that. Make sure you've run out of that grave. Now, you might be here and you already know Christ, but you keep coming back to the tomb. You keep holding on to the dead things. Maybe for you to leave here saying, I'm recommitting. I'm not going to hold on to this tomb in my life. I'm not going to hold on to this unforgiving spirit. I'm not going to hold on to the sin in my life anymore. I want to run out of the grave, and I believe by faith that the power exists to help me overcome this sin, and I can live in victory. So for maybe you, it's not salvation, but maybe for you this morning, it is to release that dead thing that you're holding on to that cannot bring life and cannot bring hope. It is a dead God. Let me pray. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray and give you an opportunity right now to repent of sin, to place your faith in the death and resurrection of Christ, and to commit your life today to have him be the Lord and Savior of your life. And you commit that. It's with our words we say it, but it's a heart commitment that if you make this commitment, the Spirit of God will take over. And you will begin to experience running out of the grave in so many areas of your life. So close your eyes if you would, please. And if this is you and you want to make that decision in your life, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Even though I'm a sinner, sin separates me from you. I believe that you made a way that I could still be saved, that I could still have a relationship with you. It was by sending Jesus to die on a cross for my sins. And I believe by faith that he rose from the dead. I place my faith not in my works, but in the works of Jesus, his death and his resurrection. So right now in this moment, I make you Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that if you made that commitment, we did this at our Good Friday service, and 12 people indicated that they gave their life to Jesus Christ at our Good Friday service. Pretty awesome. If you made that decision this morning, I want to encourage you to take a Connect card that's right in front of you, in the chair in front of you. There's a place to mark that you gave your life to Christ. Or maybe for you, just rededicating your life to Christ. Let us know that. We would love to rejoice with you. We would love to celebrate with you. And we'd love to be able to help in any way we can on your journey. So I want to encourage you to do that. There's black boxes on your way out. Just stick that in there after you filled that out. And we would love to know the decision that you made for Jesus Christ today. I want to read something, something that I wrote about 6 years ago, because there are some of you, you are born again, you know Christ, but you're going through a difficult season. I just want you to leave with some hope. It's something, because you know what, 6 years ago I was wrestling with my faith a little bit. I was wrestling with my calling, and as silly as it sounds, I was wrestling if God really loved me simply for who I was, and not because of what I did or didn't do for him. And in that season, God just came alive to me. I mean, he was alive to me, but you know what I'm saying. He came alive to me in a fresh, new, and powerful way. And it was on a Saturday, the very day before Easter, that I sat down and wrote these words, reflecting on Saturday and what it meant with Sunday coming. And so I want to encourage you as I close with these words. People talk about Friday, Jesus' death, and they talk about Sunday, Jesus' resurrection. But nobody talks about Saturday, not even the scriptures. Can you imagine what the followers were thinking and feeling that day? They couldn't make sense of what had happened, and their future seemed so unclear. Their faith was shaken, and God seemed silent. Some of you are in the season of Saturday. Life doesn't make sense to you, and God seems silent in your life. But don't give Satan a foothold into your heart and mind. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You may not see it, but God is up to something big on Saturday. He's preparing for a resurrection Sunday. If you're a Christ follower and it feels like Saturday, believe by faith that Sunday is coming in your life. The same power that rose Christ from the dead on Sunday dwells in you through the Holy Spirit today on Saturday. It's preparation day. He's preparing a beautiful resurrection story in your life. Stay strong, stay surrendered, because when Sunday happens in your life, you will get how important preparation Saturday was. Dear suffering or hurting saint, Sunday is coming. And when it does, give all the glory to God, not just for Sunday, but also for what he was preparing and producing in your life on Saturday. And so I want to encourage you, if that's the word you needed to hear today, that you can run out of that grave and experience his power. Even if it feels like a Saturday, God can produce Sunday in your life. Amen?